The Around the NFL Podcast. Sugar's the A-Cap.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hensis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Oh, boy. Guess what, Chris Wessling? This is a special show. It's up right as it hits, as the news comes out. This is our second annual NFL 2015 schedule extravaganza.
Yeah, that'll get Wes excited. We don't have a lot of annual shows. I mean, this is a tradition, kind of like carving up that turkey on Thanksgiving.
Second annual.
There won't be a third annual.
The second it drops, people don't go to NFL.com to check the schedule or watch NFL Network. They just put on their old iPod and listen.
iPod. Still roll with the iPod. Typically we'll have a show up earlier on Tuesday or perhaps even Monday, but the show is coming out a little later. I think it's 1 a.m. London time, if I'm not mistaken, when this drops. Evening time here on the West Coast.
I'm sure people are staying up to get it.
The United States.
They
don't underestimate the
good job, by the way,
UK audience.
I've been doing some research on our listenership. I know we're going to get to the schedule.
I want to party with
quickly.
You, cowboy.
Total segue.
The UK audience keeps growing percentage-wise, so thank you. And all the other countries out there, step up to the UK's game.
Let's go, Angola.
The UK only has about four countries in it. So
I'm just saying the percentage of the audience keeps growing from the UK. That's
I don't
it.
Know anything about Angola.
So
Angola's in trouble.
We got a big show today, big, big, big show. I'm excited about it. Not quite as excited maybe about Thursday's show. I was really excited about this one. This one I'm like, 7 out of 10 excited.
Well, that's good to be honest.
Yeah. And we're going to break down the schedule, or the schedule, Wes, in six parts, basically. We have a bunch of content. If you go to NFL.com/aroundtheNFL, we break down the schedule. We've all written pieces about the 2015 slate, so make sure you check that out. And we're going to talk about, we're going to break it down in every possible way, Wes, and I know you're excited about it.
Can't wait to analyze a schedule that won't even matter for another 5 months.
One of the joys, I think, for all of us, the three of us watching Wes, just as a kid in a candy store, this is one of his favorite off-season, tentpole moments when the schedule releases. That's Wes's sweet spot.
Over. I wish you weren't a liar.
It's the most overhyped thing we do at NFL Media.
It just comes in a quiet time of the year. You're absolutely right. It's total nonsense. We already know all the opponents. It's just shuffling
all
around
right,
at
now,
different times.
Now but they play in week three. Who cares?
But it's fun.
Now tell me about it in week two, and I'll get ready. I'll get excited for
sometimes
it.
Sometimes silly things are fun, Wes.
Very serious
talk to me like
man.
I'm your daughter.
By the way, Wes, we could talk about the schedule, or we could do a show on Tim Tebow signing with the Eagles. Do you have any hot takes about that?
Actual football news and analysis? Yes, I'd
give
much
a
rather
take.
Talk
give
about
me-
Tim Tebow or Philip Rivers than this,
well, let's
this
hear
schedule.
It.
Give me a Tim Tebow
quickly.
Hot take.
Well, Tebow's not going to make the roster, but it's interesting that Chip Kelly, he wound up with Chip Kelly, who once said while he was at Oregon that it wasn't a Tim Tebow type of offense. So I found that a little interesting. But the Philip Rivers, I think Greg had this yesterday because we were watching LaDainian Tomlinson, and it kind of shocked us how frankly LaDainian was talking that he thinks that Rivers will be gone from San Diego.
Rivers is sending a message. I mean, that's something to think about while we're – looking at this Titans schedule, who's the quarterback there? Rivers is not talking to the media this week or next, but through Tomlinson's words saying that he's frustrated with the organization, went through a laundry list of the players that have left there, he's basically talking. He's talking through Tomlinson. He's talking through Kevin Acey of the Union Tribune. He's not happy. He wants out. He's hoping for a trade. It's crazy.
And as far as to circle back to Tebow for 1 second, it's a perfect way to cap Chip Kelly's offseason of me.
Oh, absolutely.
Now he's got Tebow on the roster, and he could quietly cut Tebow in August, but because it's already achieved its desired effect, we are once again trying to get inside the mind of the mysterious Chip Kelly, the great genius, but we can't because it's just too much going on in there.
I look at it differently. I see this as, once again, Chip Kelly's thinking outside the box, a player who definitely should be in the NFL.
What?
He's better than a lot of second and third-string quarterbacks.
Chip Kelly disciple to my left.
You can win games with Tim Tebow. You can't win games with a lot like Thaddeus Lewis. I mean, yeah, good for you, Chip Kelly.
So Chip Kelly's smarter than the 31 other coaches for signing Tim Tebow?
No, I think there's a groupthink in the NFL, especially when it comes to player evaluation. And once somebody says, I don't want a circus in town, he's not worth it, then the rest of the teams agree with that.
I hear you, but I've never thought I'd hear Wesseling defend a quarterback that can't throw.
Do you want to win games or not?
Tim Tebow wins games.
Wouldn't you take him over Matt Barkley? I would.
John Fox has no interest really in Tim Tebow. Bill Belichick had no interest.
It's shocking that John Fox would have no interest.
Josh McDaniels, who drafted Tim Tebow, didn't really have interest in keeping Tebow on the team. He couldn't do anything in New York either. I'm just saying, a lot of people have given up. They've seen what he could do.
I'm not saying that Tim Tebow is some secret weapon. I'm saying he's better than a lot of these guys. He's better than Ryan Lindley. By far.
And one thing with Chip Kelly doesn't have to, because he doesn't have an empowered general manager or anyone to say, hey, guys, not a good idea for the organization. He runs the show, and he can make this move where other coaches, if they wanted him, have a lot of hoops to jump through to even bring him on.
It's the beauty of the NFL. He'll have to answer to it if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy this, because it won't last beyond August. He ain't making that team. Can't play.
He can play.
I think the only way he would make the team is if they do what the Jets want to do and figure out way where you could use him a few plays a game or here and there, and it's not like he's going to be starting
They were going to do, and it was a huge distraction. I don't know why Chip Kelly would ever invite that into his building. And it's not just to me groupthink. It's the truth. The guy, he's a lightning rod for debate. The second Sam Bradford struggles in September, it becomes this whole deal again.
It won't
again,
be about like, Tebow.
Get Tebow in there. Give him a shot.
I think that's past. I really do. I think most of the country knows that Tebow can't throw the ball, so there's not – Eagles fans are not going to be clamoring for Tim Tebow.
And there is less interest in him now. I mean, we're talking about him. It's the middle of April. This story would have gotten a little more buried if it had happened right in the middle of free agency. But, you know, I want to applaud the audience once again. Not really clicking on the Tim Tebow stories as much anymore, which I like.
Nicely done.
They were forced not coming to our site.
It's all relative. It's still very popular, but it's not the craziness.
You could sell the executive-type people in our building when they were forced in meetings this morning to acknowledge that the Tebow stories weren't doing well. Ooh, that hurt them. They had a hard time with that.
Shadowy league figures. A dark day when Tebow is not moving the needle. let's now look behind the glass. It's been a while, and maybe it hasn't been as quite as long as it feels to me, but I feel like it's been a while since the great TD, St. Daniel, has been behind the glass. What's up, buddy boy?
What is going on? It's St. Matthew Daniel, by the way.
I always get that wrong.
It's only been 5 minutes since TD walked in and took a shot at Mark Sessler.
I mean,
well, that was unprofessional. It was off the air, and it was unprofessional. No, I was providing facts, and you just come with some heat.
One of the great antagonistic relationships in all of podcast radio right now. Maybe perhaps the premier antagonistic relationship. TD.
Glad to be back, guys. I was away last week, but I'm back, and I know Gold Stand is here doing his thing. I'm a big fan of Gold Stand and the work.
Are you, though?
You guys try to turn
me against him. It's easy to say when he's going out the door.
You guys try to turn him against me. It's impossible, man.
Just put it this way. If Gold Standard wasn't moving on to bigger and better things at the end of the month, you wouldn't have been so cool about him doing four shows and five.
I know I missed the show. Yeah. But, you know, Ghost Standard is my guy.
Did you notice when Wes was drunk on the phone a couple weeks ago and he said how much he missed you and how great you were?
That's true. He said
you didn't listen to that show.
I listened to quite a bit, but not the whole thing.
Wes sung your praises in an inebriated state.
I was not drunk.
I listened to quite a bit. What does that mean? Five minutes, maybe?
I directed and produced Zach Goldman show. I listened to, you know, last episode where Zach did a news drop, you know.
All right.
The Gold Standard reminds me of Belichick's flowery statements after he cuts a guy. You know what I mean? It's like, he's the greatest Patriot of all time that I just fired.
The last show, you did mention right before we started, you might have had an issue with something that we talked about in the last show.
Well, I just said it, you know. Like, you know, I remember when I first started producing the show, we would go to news, and the very first time I said, let's do it, and everyone went up in arms, like, oh, that's the Gold Standard thing. You can't say, let's do it. So I had to come up with a new job show.
Okay.
And that sort of became, you know, sort
that
of
was
right
your
thing.
Thing.
And then I listened to the last episode, and then, you know, you asked for a news drop. And
well, we wanted one once, you know?
It's just
That was tied to Britt McHenry, the suspended ESPN reporter. Team Britt over here, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
And that was, you know, that was nothing against you. That was more like I wanted to get that into the show. It was my idea. So don't put it on Zach.
Like I said, Gold
I don't want you to be – you and Zach to become the way you
TD,
are.
TD, it's
Mark.
Called a production element.
Gold Standard, you know, he's the best of us. I'm a Gold Standard fan. But quick question for you guys, though. Really quick question. Who's
better
worse?
Better be on the schedule.
Who's worse? It is. The guy that says schedule or the guy that says immaturity?
You mean like 70% of our audience?
Wait.
Who's worse?
Schedule or what?
Immaturity.
What's the immaturity?
Yeah. So rather than going immature, you go
immature.
Yeah. Oh, immaturity is way
I've never
worse.
Heard that, so that sounds worse to me.
I like schedule.
I mean, I don't really look to like bury people about how they pronounce things. So
that's right.
I think you just put a lot of effort into it, right?
Yeah.
It's so much easier to say schedule and immature, you know?
Schedule is not bad, though. It's kind of sneaky. Yeah. Under the radar is a good alternate pronunciation.
Doing too much, I think.
All right. So,
questionable comment by TD.
Yeah, I mean, that was weird. But TD, it is good to have you back, buddy. So let's talk about it now. Let's get into the schedule or the schedule or however you want to say it because it is out. And I guess we'll start. Let's just start right off the top because I want to get into a little bit my colleague and my boss, the boss to the right. We talked about a couple weeks ago when Le'Veon Bell got suspended. And we said, oh, you know what? This is all setting up for the Patriots to pull the Steelers in week one in their building without Le'Veon Bell. And wouldn't you know it, they all get together in their little office in Park Avenue, and they close the door, and they have so many options to choose from. What do? They give Bill Belichick and the Patriots, the Steelers, without their best player, their best running back. To me, it all smells like the throne of ease is cooking again in another season.
Or maybe they looked at two of the best teams in the AFC over the last 10 years since Ben Roethlisberger was drafted. This is the
number one. I can't hear him. He's too high up on his throne of ease.
And the number three team. They're the two of the favorites for this year. Of course they're going to be there in week one.
I think Dan's theory is probably more solid and correct.
This is good news for the Patriots that they get to miss Bell. But I promise you, it's good news for the Steelers too because they get the Patriots in week one in September. That's when they're at their worst. Their winning percentage way lower in September than any other month. It's the truth. If you play the Patriots, you want to play them early.
How about take a month or so to figure out how they're going to run their team that
as
year.
But okay, fair enough. But as Damashek said downstairs, Damashek very upset that the Steelers
yes,
got week one.
Upset.
He referred to the week one road opponent in the Thursday night game as a sacrificial lamb, and with the exception of 1 year, which is an outlier, the Giants falling to the Cowboys a few years back. It is always that home team defending champion wins. The Patriots are going to be a heavy favorite to win that game, and the Steelers are without their most dynamic player. It just gets me mad. Why do the Patriots get so many breaks?
They're less of a favorite than they would be against the Jets or the Bills or the Eagles for that matter. So those were the options. They picked the best team.
Well, we wanted Eagles-Steelers, and I still think that would have been more interesting, but this is a good game. I don't have a problem with Steelers-Patriots.
It is a good game.
I was only a little surprised because it's the all-I-got-caught-smoking-pot-and-got-suspended-for-it bowl. I mean, yeah, LeGarrette Blount's out, Le'Veon Bell's out. It's just a little weird because that's going to be a big focus of this game, shouldn't it be?
I don't know why you needed to throw the word bowl in there. I think you already had made your point at that point. That you keep hammering it home.
Drugs. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it will still be a good game. I'm sure it will be. It just seems so obvious to me that that's how it was going to play out. I don't know.
Well, what would you have wanted week one?
Eagles. I think that would have been fun.
We should celebrate that matchup by reading the Drugs Delaney letter from outside Providence.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, I mean, Drugs Delaney.
Dear Mr. Thunderturd.
Yeah, rest in peace, Mr. Delaney. All right, so yeah, that was the thing that jumped out to me. Does anybody want to, how do we want to do this? Do we want to kind of go through some of our content here? Do anybody else have something that jumped out to them immediately?
Well, let's start with week one.
Okay, that's fun. You know, I like that.
I wrote a little just about that week one, but one of the games that's under the radar, not a primetime game or anything, Titans-Bucks week one. Maybe we're going to have the top two picks of the draft, possibly. It's not going to be a sexy game, but if it's Jameis Winston versus Marcus Mariota in week one, that's pretty crazy.
Shove that back down under the radar.
I'm just saying it stuck out. I mean, has that ever happened? I kind of doubt it.
Speaking of predictable, and I'm a fan of this matchup, but also hyper-predictable is the first Sunday night game of the year.
Yeah.
Giants at Cowboys, which I feel like has been either the week one or week 17 matchup on NBC for the past 13 straight years.
Yeah, you can already hear Chris Collinsworth calling this game.
What a great game that would be in 1990.
They should just call this the Giants at Cowboys Sunday night game because that's all it is. You're right, but it guarantees the ratings. And for all the Cowboys, you know, talk we give, like, every single top-rated game ever is a Cowboys
game. I like this one.
And they play entertaining primetime games also.
Yeah. Good quarterback. Come on.
Ravens at Broncos. You get Kubiak in Denver taking on his old offense in Baltimore. And, you know, that's a tough one. Whoever wins that has got to feel very good about week one.
Surprised I didn't think to put that on my list of revenge games. Kubiak.
Ooh, and you still could.
One thing I'm not surprised about is that Mark was given one takeaway from week one, and he went straight to the coordinators. The friend of the coordinator, Mark Sessler.
Well, it's exciting.
Why is it that you connect with coordinators in such a way? What is the mentality behind it? I'm curious what it is.
I think because, you know, they're in the shadows a little bit, but I think if I were ever to be a football coach, I would want to be not the head coach necessarily, but the offensive coordinator.
Do you on some level see yourself as a coordinator on some level, whether it be in the office or at home, and you think you deserve more pub? And that's why you bring it to
that feels accurate to me.
Interesting.
You're the Mark Trestman of the group.
Speaking of
great coordinator.
Just was fired, so how about that?
Speaking of Mark, the Jets and the Brownies in week one. How exciting is that? Greg obviously will be sending us to that game. So to all our listeners in the New York, New Jersey area, we could have a tweet up. Greg, thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's not true. I just made that up. But Greg, how about it?
If we're sending anyone anywhere, it's to Foxborough for that kickoff like you went to last year. You know,
just that would be fun.
A couple of teams hoping to get to 8 wins.
Our roving week one reporter, Dan Hans.
I can do both. I could swing by New York and then pop into New York after New England.
That's cool. I mean, they do always try to have the teams that struggled last year face off against each other early in the year so you get some early wins. I mean, that's been a formula for 50 years. That's why the Titans and the Bucks are playing each other. The thing that stuck out to me is that finally the doubleheader nightcap on Monday night in week one is not including the Raiders, is not an AFC West game. I think that's the first time ever. Vikings 49ers, Teddy Bridgewater on national TV against the new look 49ers. I know their team's kind of in transition, but I like that as two teams kind of – I just want to watch by themselves.
New look is generous. I mean, it's more like what was in the picture. It's been like 60% of it's been removed. How about Eagles-Falcons the same night? First time we get to see Shanahan's offense.
A little bit of a snoozer, though, in Atlanta. I don't like that one that much. I mean, I like
Well,
Eagles.
It gets a fake crowd noise going, and that thing's going to be hopping.
Not all the birds.
Do you think Tim Tebow will watch that Eagles game from his couch, or do you think he'll go to a sports bar?
I think he'll be watching it from the sideline while Matt Barkley is somewhere else watching it from someone else's couch.
I always thought they should.
All right.
I'm not on board with this Tebow doesn't make the Eagles thing. We'll see.
I always thought they should do this Monday night doubleheader a different time of year because by that point in the first Monday, it's like we haven't had any football for months. It'd be like keeping Chris Wessling away from Tybee Island for a year. That first night or two, he's back. I mean, he's getting after it. There's a lot to go for. And it's like, wouldn't we enjoy that nice Monday night doubleheader a little later in the season? Spread out the love. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. I respect that. hey, one other tentpole portion of the season – Thanksgiving. Let's talk about Thanksgiving, and we'll start with Eagles at Lions. That's the early game. Solid game. I like that game. I'll miss Ndamukong Suh. He always seemed to bring adventures to that game. Then you have the Panthers at Cowboys. That's the middle game. That's a little weird that the Panthers snuck in there. Your thoughts about that?
They're a fun team to watch. Why do you have a problem with that? They're a much more fun team to watch than the Cowboys are.
I mean, they were literally the final eight teams in the NFL playoffs two straight years. How many teams can say that?
We're
going
to count the Panthers as a true playoff team last year.
Won a game.
They were playing really well at the end of the year.
And they played a team with no quarterback, but they were good down the stretch.
Does anyone forget that game against the Seahawks? Was I wrong that it was tied to start the fourth quarter? They were a competitive team. They have Cam Newton.
I'll back off.
The Lions, to me, are a little more boring.
No, I think they messed up this Thanksgiving slate.
And then Thanksgiving night, Chicago Bears at Green Bay Packers. You know, talk about sacrificial lambs. Bears will be lucky to be out of the first half, not down 20 points. And then at halftime, finally, thankfully, Brett Favre is going to get his frickin' number retired. I don't know how long we've had to talk about that, how many stories we've had to write about that. I mean, like, as if it's such a big deal, but he will get his number retired at halftime. But that game, to me, smells like a potential stinker.
Well, it's a nightmare. I think, like, last year, and Wes pointed this out in something that he's written, that 2 years in a row, no AFC teams on Thanksgiving. And this is the perfect setup for a classic Steelers-Ravens-type brawl. Instead, you're putting Jay Cutler in there against Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe Jay Cutler.
Well, right, or someone even less. It's just it smells to me like a absolute bomb drop. Is the
28-3 at the half?
Weren't they up 45-0 at halftime last time they played?
Something insane.
I agree with you.
Packers have gone 11-2 against the Bears since Jay Cutler landed in Chicago.
The Bears were a fun team to watch. At this point, I feel like they need to – it's up to them to change our minds.
But what's the thinking? Why, like, there's a bunch of smart people in the room.
Here's the thinking. Brett Favre is getting his number retired on Thanksgiving. It's his return. That's the star. It's all about Favre that night.
It's also the NFL's oldest rivalry.
Right. And Favre had his best – or one of his best records against the Bears, 22-10 against them, a lot of games against them. It all –
who knows? Maybe the Bears surprise.
It does make a little sense.
Listen.
It's – Green Bay, Lambeau on a Thursday night, Thanksgiving. I mean, that's never happened before. There is something cool.
I kind of like this matchup.
Ooh.
I'm on board.
Maybe
why not?
Maybe the Bears won't stay.
I mean, Green Bay plays Seattle. How about you put that Thanksgiving night? Ratings firebomb. Instead, you got Jay Cutler
in late
November.
All right, you're right.
Hi, Mark. I have a question for you.
Okay.
I want to know, I want you to tell me, if you can, some teams, in your estimation, got lucky. Who got lucky when it comes to the release of the schedule? When you look at it, obviously we can't really tell. We don't know who's going to be good, who's going to suck. But maybe your first glance and you looked at these schedules, who maybe jumped out to you as teams that will have the advantage this season because of the way it was put scheduled?
I don't know about advantage because I think it's some who bounce back from having crappy schedules last year and have a better situation this time. The Jets are one team for me. Like, they had a murderer's row of quarterbacks last season. They had to play Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning. None of those guys are on the schedule this time around. And they get the AFC, they get the Titans, Jaguars, and Texans, and they open with Cleveland. They don't have that first place schedule, so they're getting the Clevelands and the Titans, that type of fare. And so, you know, they 4 wins last season. I think they could double that.
They got the NFC East.
Better win that week one game.
Yes.
You got it.
They got the NFC East. They got the AFC South. That's not too crazy at all. And their division stuff, I mean, the Patriots are there. But then the rest of the teams are all kind of at their level. So I think they're in pretty good position. Who else you got here?
Well, I went NFC South because, I mean, you know, what do we know today? But they play the AFC South. So that's going to help them get out of the – you know, it's 7-8-1 won the division last year. It's not going to be that way this year. I think the Saints are an improved team. You know, the Falcons, I think they'll be a better offense this year around, better team. And, like, will they get the crappy AFC division. That's – what more can you ask for?
That's huge, and that's how a lot of times I pick my wild card teams. Just, okay, what divisions could get multiple playoff teams? The AFC North had a very advantageous schedule last year, and it worked out that way. The only thing is the AFC South might be looking at that NFC South and thinking, we've got
a lucky
schedule.
Well, they probably are. I look at the Saints, though. They're the only team of every NFL team that doesn't play consecutive road games. They don't have to go on any nasty three games. You know, I mean, the teams that are in trouble, the ones that have 3 or 4 road games in a row. It's a couple of those three teams.
Mark, I'm looking at your post, which is on this Who Got Lucky. You listed a bunch of teams and divisions. And I wanted to say, if anybody wants to read Mark's stuff, NFL.com/Mark's latest think piece.
Yeah, well, this one was thrust upon me.
Dan going out of his way to have people not read Mark's content.
No, make sure you read it. It's good. But I also noticed that you use Autumn. You are the only around the NFL writer that uses Autumn repeatedly in your content.
Well, I'm tired of having to write last year, last season, blah, blah, blah.
Mm. I'm not taking shots. I'm just
I noticed it's also incorrect because half the season doesn't take place in the autumn, so I get that.
I noticed the Colts continue to have the softest schedule in the NFL.
Yeah, well, that's...
They do.
They're 8-8.
They play the division we were just talking about, and they can eat them up. And then they're tough games, New England. You know, I think the Saints is a tough game in Denver. They play all those teams at home.
Hmm.
They get eight free wins every year. When I was in the post office.
It's just 6, right?
We used to have a phrase, 8-8.
What is that? What was it?
So if you're part of the union and you like a veteran guy, you have so many days a week where you're not allowed to have overtime. So if you're guaranteed only 8 hours that day, you got 8 and skate. You got eight hours and then
you're out.
Skate for the day. That's Colts get 8 free wins every year, 8 and skate.
So glad you escaped that word.
6 free wins. Not to ruin.
No,
thing.
they get another 2 easy games
just
every
for fun.
Year. Yeah, they get plenty of easy games.
They got a start in Buffalo. That's a fun week one game.
They got the Buccaneers this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You like the Saints as a team that's been set up for a bounce back year, Hummer?
I think so. It seemed like everything kind of went wrong last year, and they were my Super Bowl pick last year. They got to do something, right?
Wait, you put them on this list just because you picked them to go to the Super Bowl?
No, I like the fact that they don't have a nasty road schedule.
Do you want to give any details?
No.
I'm reading your content. Only NFL team without back-to-back road games. That seems
perfect. I mentioned that earlier in the broadcast.
I wasn't listening. Their only consecutive away dates come on either sides of the team's week 11 bye. Did you know that?
Yeah, well, this is the research I did about an hour ago.
They got to start in Arizona. I always kind of look at that September start. I mean, because after that, who knows? But start in Arizona, that's a tough place. You got to go to Carolina week 3.
You guys want to know who got
Sure.
We're not allowed to use that terminology on the website or probably even the podcast. But
Definitely not the podcast.
On NFL.com.
Just got bleeped out.
Okay.
Who got hosed? That's another thing we couldn't say online, but we can say that in the podcast. See,
yeah,
there is that, a
that's fine.
Every time Bang a Gong comes on the radio, TD bleeps it out.
We can't say hosed in print.
No, we can't say
Say host. Last year it was asked who got hosed was up for, I think it was the third year we did who got hosed. I was the writer, I remember. But last year in the morning, I remember there was some shadowy league figure that had us change.
Greg got a stern talking to him.
No more hosed.
I feel like bingo. I feel like this my post, which is had to be retitled 2015 schedule colon who's facing an uphill climb. This is what's going to cost me the Pulitzer. If it would have been hosed, I think I was going to get the Pulitzer.
There's like 8 colons and 4 subtitles in that story.
Anyway, so yeah, here's the flip side of it. Teams or divisions where I think they're kind of in a tough spot. And I'll start with the teams that have 3 straight road games at one point in their schedule. Again, there's not too much. You don't want to get too crazy about what's an easy game, what's not an easy game, because we don't really know who's good. But you know that going on the road 3 games in a row is tough. Tough. And the Falcons, Bills, Dolphins, and Jaguars all have to do that. And just a reminder how hard it is to win on the road. Only 6 teams had a winning record on the road last year, and no team had less than 3 losses. So, I mean, it's not easy to win on the road.
It's not, and it just reminded me of something. You know who should be on this list every year? The Jaguars, because they give away a home game. I love the international series, but it's a competitive disadvantage that the same team – has volunteered.
Yeah, that's
to give
what's
up.
Keeping the Jaguars
I'm
out of the playoffs.
I'm just saying, it's giving up a
but
home
the
game.
Jaguars, Jaguars fans pack Wembley Stadium.
So now they're good for 4 wins instead of 3?
I'm not saying it. Look, there's only 16 games in a season. You want every advantage you can possibly
get. So those 4 teams have 3 road games in a row, so that's not fun. The Steelers, I'll throw out there. I think, you know, of course, you mentioned Sheck was upset about that week 1 that they got stuck with the Patriots without Le'Veon Bell. But here's the other thing. If you look after their post-bye schedule after week 11 is rough. They're at Seattle, home to Colts, at Cincinnati, home to Denver, at Baltimore, and then at Cleveland. There's no gimmies there.
How
at
often
all.
Do you see a team that they know is going to be in the thick of the division race in the final month of 4 games, 3 are on the road against division opponents, all road games? That is just – that
even
feels – Damashek is right to be annoyed.
What I'm seeing here is games – at A.J. McCarron, home to Brock Osweiler, and at Johnny Manziel.
Best case scenario.
That's what happens when you look at the schedule in April.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Wes brings good perspective for sure.
That is tough, though. The Steelers especially, that first-place schedule in the AFC is so much harder than the third or fourth. The fact that they get the Broncos and the Patriots and that NFC West, that's disastrous.
Let's see.
9-7 winner of that
division.
It
does seem like the Steelers get the hardest schedule this year.
So yeah, sorry about that, Steelers. They got the easiest last year. They got to be like 7-3 hitting that bye, or I think they're in deep trouble.
Well, and by the way, the Ravens are home 3 of 4 of their final 4 games. So it's like, come on, I mean, it just seems tilted bizarrely.
And also throughout the NFC West as a whole, you know, listen, it's not maybe as stacked a division as it was when the Niners were a powerhouse, but even factoring that in, that's a competitive division. Those teams beat each other up. And then all the West teams, they got to play the AFC North, which is maybe they're 1-2 in terms of most competitive divisions. AFC North fielded 3 playoff teams last year. This also does, in a somewhat related point, this does, Mark, present the possibility of Johnny Manziel playing at CenturyLink Field.
Presents this, you know, the possibility of Cleveland winning 3 or 4 games next season. When I look at the schedule,
I could have easily put Cleveland on the list. Their schedule is not easy
it's not
at
good.
All.
But you know who didn't get banged? I think when you have the
no,
West
hosed,
play, hosed, or you know toyed around with the West and North. The West and North sounds, playing each other. That we win, those are going to be some great games. A bunch of great games there.
Yeah. I love football.
Marty, the Around the NFL podcast would not be toyed around with.
Don't you us.
TD is going crazy.
You can.
This is how you welcome me back then?
Putting you to work. Hey, I put the gold standard to work, too. Don't worry about it. All right. How about Kevin Patcher, who, by the way, is our Chicago correspondent, and Wes. This time next week, it will be the Patra and Wes Variety Hour, 24 hours a day in Chicago for several days. You looking forward to that?
I don't know if the Windy City is ready for the two of us.
I don't know if I said it on the last podcast or not, but here's the only thing I worry about when it comes to any type of situation in a parking lot or in a bar where there's a disagreement. Patra's go-to is fisticuffs every time.
Right.
He uses those two big meat hooks.
Well,
goes to
he's
work.
Got a peacemaker like me around.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you might – you guys could turn into like the tag team champions of the Midwest, potentially.
My cantankerous fisticuffs days are over.
You don't think Patra will bring it out of you potentially?
Nah.
What about you and Patra getting into a fight? That would be
I could see that a lot more.
Patrick's a good man. I don't envision that.
I'm looking forward to hearing about this trip together. You guys are an interesting pairing. It could be like the perfect mix, or it could be oil and vinegar. It could go either direction.
We've hung out before, just the two of us, Patrick and I, and we had a good time.
Maybe too much fun. That's what we're suggesting.
Well, I think I found the only person I know who complains more than I do.
All right, Thursday night preview. Let's talk about the Thursday night games real quick. Kevin wrote this piece. I'm just going to go through it here. Broncos at KC. All right. Give me a letter grade, Greg, all right, for each of these. But you got to be quick, rapid fire. Ready?
Okay.
Broncos at KC.
B minus.
Redskins at Giants.
C.
Ravens at Steelers.
A.
Colts at Texans.
B minus.
All right, we're switching over to Mark now. Grades, please. Falcons at Saints.
B. Solid B.
BBB. Seahawks at Niners.
A minus.
Dolphins at Patriots.
B plus.
Browns at Bengals.
A plus.
Switching over to Wes. Bills at Jets.
F.
Stop.
Two teams without quarterbacks. No thank you.
Titans at Jaguars. You're stupid. Titans at Jaguars.
F minus.
Oh, he got the terrible part of the slate.
This is great. Vikings at Cardinals.
B.
B plus. Come on.
Bucks at Rams.
D. At Rams? That's automatically less than a C if you're playing in that mausoleum.
Oh, wow. I don't even have to guess what this one is. Week 15, Jets at Cowboys.
C plus.
Wow. Thursday night preview schedule.
We got more. We got two more.
That was a terrible idea.
What?
I can't wait to hear from the Shadowy League figures on that one.
What, the grades?
Yeah.
I didn't think we were getting F-bombs all over the place on us there.
I'm kidding anyways. I find it funny. I like – one of the things I like about the Thursday night schedule are the Saturday games back once again. If you remember last year, we had a doubleheader late in the season. This year, no doubleheader, but two Saturday games, including Jets at Cowboys. That's a Saturday game.
Oh.
And you left off Chargers Raiders. That's a Christmas Eve game. So, you know, you
get – C-minus.
Bring the family around and settle in for a little.
Sell it, Greg.
Phillip Rivers and Derek Carr, which means the final game there, Redskins-Eagles. Oh, I guess that's actually a Thursday game. Redskins-Eagles is on a Saturday. So there you go.
C plus.
So Christmas on a Friday.
Yeah.
That means there's NFL games Christmas Eve and NFL game the day after Christmas, and then the full slate of Sunday games.
This is your message to tell us
basically,
we're not going to be celebrating.
Yeah,
that
we'll
holiday.
Warn your families. It's going to be that kind of year.
It's going to be that kind of year.
It's only one game, you know.
Cool.
Warn your families.
You have to talk to my wife about this.
Well, we have Christmas off. Yeah. I'll take you off Chargers Raiders. You're off Christmas.
It's like one day couch between like 5 days of madness. Real restful.
All right. Finally, revenge.
It's best served cold.
Best served cold. Mark, you, of course, wrote the revenge piece last year, opened with who was the quote from?
Friedrich Nietzsche, I believe.
Nietzsche.
I'm looking at that piece today, and I had no memory.
I thought to myself when I checked out Mark's post from last year, what if I just put the Nietzsche quote up there again and just rolled with the same intro? And see if anyone noticed, including Mark. But I might as well write my own. But All right, so here's some revenge games. And revenge is, as Wes previously stated, best served cold.
A dish, best served cold.
A dish. I'll start with right off the top. This one's more team. Packers versus Seahawks. I was bummed out. I think we were talking about this, Greg, on an NFL Now hit we did this week. We knew the Packers and Seahawks were playing. We didn't know when they were playing. We're kind of hoping maybe put it later in the season where the stakes are feeling – their stakes are bigger. No, but they stuck in a week two, so.
I hate that.
That was a little odd.
Sunday night game.
That was your Thanksgiving game right there, and you sold it.
It's still on national TV.
It's a fun game, and obviously it's going to get mega ratings and everything, so it's not like that was an obvious misstep, but it would have been cool to see it a little later. But then again, we might end up seeing them in January again, so.
Selfishly, though, I don't like the good games on Sunday, the great games on Sunday night, because ultimately that's the game we are too busy to really pay really close attention. That's selfish. But early in the season, I hate that. You know these are going to be the two best teams, but that's what the NFL wants to do. They want to knock them down a little bit.
Here's the difference. Obviously, the Packers lost their first and last game in Seattle last year, the second of which probably the worst loss in franchise history, this time in Lambeau Field. So it's going to be the challenge will be on the Seahawks more than anything. Packers went 9-0 there last year.
You know, the Seahawks, just for a second to talk, yes, their first 2 weeks – in St. Louis and then in Green Bay. Just saying. That's a tough
drinking that Les Snead Kool-Aid, aren't you?
I'm just saying that's a tough tough start to the season. Two tough road games.
With almost their entire defensive backfield coming off major injuries.
Right.
I mean, they've struggled in St. Louis even at the best time. I'm just saying that is a tough two-game start.
Nick Foles against the Legion of Boom. I don't know.
Advantage. Boom.
Andre Johnson did the badass move where your team that scorned you, you go sign with another team in the division, so you get to, you know, I was going to use the B word, TD, but because I respect you, you know, he wants to hose the Texans twice.
He's going to toy around with them.
He's going to toy around with the Texans twice. He gets them in week 5 and week 15, so that'll be interesting. Andre Johnson, who basically got cut after Bill O'Brien said, hey, you're going to have a role about 50% of what it once was, and Andre Johnson said, nah, man, I'm Andre Johnson. I'm still the man. That's basically what he said.
That's the transcript from that conversation.
I was listening in. I was in the office.
Nah, man.
He's taking a different tact from Steve Smith. He has not predicted blood and guts everywhere. He said he's not really upset with the Texans, but I have a feeling he's going to have a pretty big chip on his shoulder, especially if the owner came out and publicly said that Andre Johnson wouldn't acknowledge losing a step.
I'm not even certain I've ever heard Andre Johnson speak.
He's got a deep voice. He would be a great guy to do those money intros.
He's got a mean swing, too.
He's got the nice baritone.
A mean swing?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Portland Finnegan, man.
Of course.
Don't you just think – plus, he's playing with Andrew Luck now. Don't you just think he's going to –
he's playing with a quarterback for the first time in a decade.
He's celebrating all offseason because of that.
He's smart.
He's going to crush the Texans.
So smart. He's signed with a Super Bowl contender and the best young quarterback in football. I bet he has a big year. DeMarco Murray versus the Cowboys. Again, same situation. He gets to face his former team twice on week 2 and week 9. And again, in my opinion – the Cowboys made a mistake. They didn't give DeMarco Murray enough respect after he won Offensive Player of the Year and carried that team. What was the big difference between all those 8-8 finishes and 12-4? Is DeMarco Murray, in my opinion. I thought he was awesome, and they should have kept him around. They didn't, and now he gets to stick it to him.
Mm. Wasn't he on those 8-8 teams, though?
Well, he was banged up. It was when they changed their philosophy a little bit and built the offense around him.
Just saying.
What are you smirking at? Their offense wasn't changed at all last year?
They were much better.
Were they more run heavy last year?
I was just laughing at their reaction.
I'm just saying.
They were great. They were the best offense.
So when they
in the
depended on DeMarco Murray more, they were better, and now
right.
they get him out of town. I don't think there's logic to that.
I'm just saying he was on the team. Those other years that you said was the difference. I'm glad that game is early. Week 2.
You're fired.
Great game.
We fire the boss.
This is uncomfortable.
Right. Week 2, national game on Fox.
That's good. I'm looking forward to that game. I love anything NFC East, as you know.
To make it up for you, to you, Dan, you have been assigned that game
already. Cool.
The earliest assigning of a game in ATL history.
I'm looking forward to it. We'll stick with an NFC East team, Shady McCoy, LeSean McCoy, This one is like has a lot of heat on it. He got traded to the Bills in a surprise move, and really a stunning move right at the dawn of free agency this year. So the Bills and the Eagles square off in Week 14, and do you think there'll be a lot of talk going into that game?
No, I don't think there won't be a lot of attention around that.
LeSean McCoy, he is the jilted lover of the NFL this offseason. He doesn't shut up.
It's great.
And you know, you could, in his defense, he was a great player for the Eagles, and they basically kicked him out of town and said, you don't make us better. So he's let him know that he thinks. He even said that he thought the DeMarco and Ryan Matthews signings were a, quote, panic move. So a lot of heat.
Plus, you know, if they're playing well at that time of year, Rex Ryan's going to be honking about how the Eagles should be sad that they let McCoy go. He's one of the only coaches that likes to get into this mix to kind of boost up his player. And
he's
going to
be toying around with the Eagles.
Well, the Bills a quick aside, will the Bills be in playoff contention at that point?
Yes.
Week 14.
Definitely.
I think they'll be in the mix.
Wild card, maybe.
Yeah, for wild card, I think they'll be in the mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a 10-win team right there.
Yummy. How about this, Greg? How about a little Patriots want some revenge on Darrelle Revis?
Do they really?
I don't know. Week 7 and week 16.
The hired gun who helped them get a Lombardi trophy?
Well, I don't think Revis should be looking for – well, that's a fair point. And I definitely don't think that Revis should be looking for revenge on the Patriots. They paid him millions, let him reestablish his market value, and then got him a ring.
Mm.
But the Patriots may be like, oh, not only did you not maybe give us a little discount to stay in town after all we did for you, you went and signed back with the Jets and all that stuff.
I think everyone won here in this
maybe.
This deal. And they're about to hang out at the White House, right? Aren't they?
He is going to
up there.
The White House. That's true.
I'm not pumped about that.
Surprised they put this game at 1 o'clock. But maybe the revenge here is Bill Belichick versus everyone that wrote their secondary was going to fall apart without Darrelle Revis. He tries to find motivation in anything. And shows, you know, we didn't win just because of Revis.
Geno Smith will test that.
They've won a lot of games without Revis, that's for sure.
It's Marcus Mariota. What about the idea of maybe Belichick getting a little frisky and going after Revis?
Oh, I like that. Brady.
That's some revenge.
Brady and, yeah, that'd be fun.
Revenge.
Watch Brandon LaFell torch him. That'll embarrass
I would him. Literally kill myself.
I wouldn't bank on that.
Speaking of the Jets, Rex Ryan versus the Jets. Again, two matchups, Week 10 and Week 17. And the NFL definitely made sure to leverage this one. The first matchup is a Thursday night football matchup, Week 10. And I can imagine Rex Ryan's press conferences that week will be aired live on NFL Network. That would be my guess. I'm going to throw it out
already
there.
Teasing it.
Well, and if
company man, I like it.
If we're not buying Belichick Revis heat, you don't have to sell Rex because what he said over the weekend, I mean, he is clearly agitated with the Jets, and he's not holding back, and he has no edit button.
Well, Jason Garo, at least, he was really upset that this rookie came out and said that guys were lackadaisical and being late. He didn't think he thought he was out of line.
And then another player came out and said tardiness was a problem.
Yeah, Willie Colon.
Right. So I'm just saying.
And then after that Thursday night game, Week 10, then they bring him back. And Week 17, the two teams play. So for any optimistic Bills fans and Jets fans that think that they're going to be in the mix, could be an elimination game in a best-case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So they really line that up very well.
How about the Redskins in Week 14 going against what will then be their former coach, Jay Gruden, who's been hired as a consultant on the Bears.
See that?
Revenge game.
Jay Gruden is not in a good position. Finally, the last one I got here, a little Johnny Fox. Johnny Fox coaching against the Broncos in Week 11. 4 years John Fox was in Denver, four division titles, one Super Bowl trip, and yet John Elway famously said in his first news conference after that they parted ways that they disagreed how to get to the next level, which is a little twist of the knife, I thought, by Elway unnecessarily. Foxy wants to show him, I'm going to toy with you, and I'm going to hose you.
Oh, boy.
Mike Kliss, who I like a lot, who writes for the Denver Post, said in the first day of the Kubiak era when everyone was meeting with the media, what a necessary change of culture it is around here. You can already tell in day one.
Oh, that's so unfair.
And I thought, wait, where were you last year? I didn't hear anyone reporting or talking about that there needed to be some culture change. What was the
huge
problem?
Well, that was really never spoken about that way. I think Fox is one of the amiable coaches in the league.
I want to know what the real story is then. There must be – I don't know. They just what is this?
Was the culture fine before Peyton Manning hurt his – broke down physically than last year? That feels like that was the biggest issue, right?
Yes.
I feel like too many people, including Chris Wessling, giving up on the Denver Broncos.
Wait, I got sandwiches on the line against Damashek.
Oh.
He predicts he has Broncos did not make the playoffs if Peyton Manning starts for them, and I have they will make the playoffs. Okay.
Dan, where is Johnny Manziel coming back into Cincinnati and saying, listen, Marvin Lewis, you don't call me a midget. I'm coming back around.
Who's Johnny Manziel?
All right.
Primetime game against Andy Dalton. There are worse places to be for the Browns.
That is an annual NFL Network game, Browns-Bengals, right in the middle of the season.
They do seem to do it every year.
You know what they should have done, Wes? They should have put.
I like it.
They should have taken it out to the wild card round and just eliminated the Bengals there, too. West of us.
Just skip the whole season, 10-6. You're going to be the 5 seed.
Yeah.
Everyone in the AFC is angling for that 4 seed so they get the free bye.
West of us is coming. Every day takes us closer.
The NFL doesn't have to schedule that. The Bengals take care of that themselves.
Wes, I'll give you the final word on the schedule release 2015.
I don't have to think about the schedule again until the day before the season starts, which is when we should think about it. When the games start to matter.
Maybe the whole week before the season starts. You know,
there you go. All right.
Previews.
Mark, I'll give you the final word as well.
I think the NFL's done an absolutely fantastic job with this. The people upstairs, the management figures especially, just outstanding.
And Greg, since you're here.
Quit it with the Throne of Ease stuff. Give me a break.
What?
Listen to Mr. Smirk.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's smirking at me. I'm talking about making my points to DeMarco Murray from your Throne of Ease.
I love this song.
All right, we will be back. Let's lay it out again the rest of the next week and a half. We will have, what's today? I don't even know what's happening anymore.
Tuesday.
Okay, we'll have another show on Thursday. You gentlemen will go it without me. I want to take care of the girl here, okay? I won't be around on Thursday. So get ready for that, Greg. Pressure's on.
What does that mean exactly?
You're gonna be leading the show.
I know that, but about the girl part.
Taking care of the girl?
The podcast is a girl on this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You had us thinking all sorts of things.
Gaia? Like Mother Earth?
Kind of. And then next week is the big draft week. Like we said, Wes is going to Chicago. We're going to have 3 shows. We'll have a Tuesday preview. We'll make some sandwich propositions with predictions for the draft. And then we'll do a show immediately after couple hours after the first round's up. Done, and we'll get the podcast up before any of our quote-unquote competitors. And then, of course, after Saturday, after the draft, we'll do a recap, and then we're going to watch the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
That's right.
But that won't be on the podcast. Well, you don't have to.
All right.
Any Avengers?
Oh, is that coming out?
Yeah, same day.
What's an Avenger?
Like
none of us are seeing
people.
The Avengers, nobody's much less that weekend.
That didn't make the social calendar.
I graduated from junior high.
Right. I was
going to really
say, we're older
this.
Than 19.
Sorry for trying to keep
stunningly, TD, I did all see right. that first one in the theater, yeah. and I enjoyed it. I don't even know what was the – maybe I had a cousin I was entertaining, a young boy or something. I don't even know why I was there, but I did see it,
yeah.
enjoyed it, but will not be seeing the sequel.
What are these folks avenging?
I don't know.
Mayhem.
Mayhem, you know, like he says. Only going to be the top grossing movie of all time. But
do you have any, TD, you have any other shots against people that don't talk the way you talk?
Nothing, I think.
The schedule folk.
Schedule folk, man. It's too much.
It's not their fault for being British.
By the way, nothing is more.
You're going to get hammered for this,
no,
by the way.
No, that's not. It's not a British thing.
At producer
British,
TD.
Of course it is.
Well, it is a British
every,
thing.
Not every Brit says that. I grew up around a lot of Brits. They don't.
Your timeline is going to be ugly. Horrifying.
Nothing's more current, by the way, than a comic book based on themes from the 1950s whenever it was created.
It's the biggest movie of the.
I mean, just saying.
Of all time.
It's
maybe.
Turning ugly.
Yeah, how many sales did Justin Bieber have? Let's measure things by sales.
Wes, with a Bieber analogy. Right, I like that.
Geez. This is pretty really good. Falling off the.
All right. Oh, okay, that's it. That's
shout out to Marvel. Not Marvel, actually. Ball.
John Marvel? Ball. Excellent.
Yeah. Big Avengers guy.
Okay, cool. All right, so we will be back on Thursday. Thank you for listening. This is Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and the great TD behind the glass. Until then.